The following is a recording from the sermon files of the Beacon Church of Christ. To God be the glory always.
If your friends told you to jump off a bridge, would you do it? I don't know how many times I heard my mom say that growing up, but I heard it several times. The truth of the matter is that sometimes our friends, even though maybe they ought not be our friends, cause us to do things, or at least influence us to do things that we ought not be doing. And so, in the Bible, we have caution that we better select our friends carefully. And this is mainly the idea that we'll be talking about this afternoon. We'll be looking at Proverbs chapter 15, beginning in verse 31, going down to verse 33 this afternoon. Proverbs 15, verses 31 through 33. This passage reads, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." So we're going to be noticing some virtue, if you will, from this passage this afternoon, and we're going to be noticing that the people around us are either going to help us be more virtuous, or they're going to hurt us and cause us to be less virtuous. As the recurring theme in the book of Proverbs, this passage deals with wisdom. And so we must understand that if we're going to be wise, spiritually speaking, then we better be around wise people, spiritually speaking. Hence the term, abide among the wise. First of all, we need to notice that those who abide among the wise are not going to be hard of spiritual hearing. Did you know that the Bible teaches that there are some who are hard of hearing, spiritually speaking? The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. That verse places a direct correlation between your spiritual mindset and the people that you associate with. If you are spiritually wise, then chances are you're going to spend the majority of your quality time around others who are spiritually wise. But if you're spiritually a fool, then chances are you're going to be spending your time around those who are acting foolishly, spiritually speaking. As they say, birds of a feather flock together. The people you associate with will eventually rub off on you. We understand these phrases because they're true. The Bible is very clear that this principle is true. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." I like how the American Standard Version translates this. It says, "Evil companionships corrupt good morals." And that is exactly right. If I am spending the majority of my time around those who are cussing, drinking, lying, and doing any other manner of evil frequently, then guess what? I'm going to be, at the very least, tempted to do those things. And if I'm not careful, I'm going to join in with them in those things. And so we have to be wise with those we associate ourselves with. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18 says, "Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness and iniquity?" They don't go hand in hand. Righteousness, godliness, godlikeness cannot go with iniquity, sin. They exclude one another. That's why when we sin, even just one sin, it separates us from God. Because God is all good, all righteous. And when we sin just once, we become all evil in that sense and are separated from God. You can't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. There's no fellowship with righteousness and unrighteousness or iniquity. What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what portion hath a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement hath a temple of God with idols? For we are a temple of the living God. Even as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be to you a father, and ye shall be to me sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Paul writes that God says that we have to come out and be separate from those who are in the world. We have to be sanctified. We have to be set apart for holy purposes. And that is why we are a part of the church. We are to be here for one another, to help one another, to grow spiritually, to be virtuous, to possess the fruit of the Spirit. All of this is important in our walk of life as Christians. And if we are with one another, if we are abiding among the spiritually wise Christians, then it's going to be that much easier for us to behave spiritually wisely. But those who are frequently out in the world are going to act like the world. Now, a lot of people think that this passage that I just quoted or just read was talking mainly about marriage. Now, it is true that this passage, we can make the application regarding our marriages, not being unequally yoked with unbelievers, but it's actually talking about just in general, not yoking yourself with unbelievers. And so we need to understand then that anybody we spend our time with who is an unbeliever, if we're not careful, that unbeliever is going to rub off on us, and we're going to pick up some of their bad habits. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 and 11 says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to keep company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. But then you must needs go out of the world. So what do we learn from this? I'm not speaking to you today about completely avoiding those who are in the world. Don't get around them at all. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying don't spend your quality time with worldly people. If I was saying just completely avoid them all, then we couldn't evangelize. We couldn't try to be an example to those people. But what we're talking about is spending our quality time in such a way that we their bad deeds are rubbing off on us. But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. And so that's where Christian discipline, church discipline comes in. We have this understanding that if a brother is acting like the world, then we need to shun them, in a sense. We need to say, hey, you've broken fellowship with us. We are withdrawing fellowship from them, but really they've done it to themselves by being out in the world and committing worldliness. And so we're commanded to be separate from those unclean in this sense. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17 again. And yet in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 10 through 11, we find that we are to separate from sinners who are brethren. We have to make sure that we are being holy in all manners of life. It is true that we're going to come into contact with some sinners. Jesus himself came into contact with sinners. He sat down with sinners and ate with them. You can look at Matthew 28, or Matthew 9, rather, verses 10 and 11. And you can see that Jesus sat down and ate with them. But what was his purpose in doing so? It was spending his time with them in order to try to win them as to be Christians, to be his disciples. It was not to join them in their sin. I have a duty to come into contact with sinners. That duty is to evangelize the lost. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 18, verses 15 and following, I have a duty to come into contact with those who are Christians but have become sinners again. And what is that duty? It's to go to them. First, myself, then take two or three witnesses, then take the church and go make contact with them. But the reason for that is to win them to Christ. It's not to learn from their sins and to join in and become worldly like them. If I am surrounding myself with the spiritually unwise, then what am I going to do? I'm going to be taught to block out the truth. There are people who have completely blocked out the truth from their ears. There are people who have had their consciences seared with a hot iron, the Bible teaches. And if I'm not careful, my conscience can be seared just like those people in the world. Why? Because I'm influenced by being around them. Therefore, abide among the wise. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. What is true then of the one who abides not among the wise? He doesn't hear the reproof of life. He blocks it out. He covers his ears and he says, I'm not going to listen. Don't tell me that I'm doing this wrong. Because we learn to block out the truth if we are being influenced by these types of people. Jeremiah addressed this kind of people when he said, Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. And that is exactly the kind of people that have blocked their ears from the truth. Well, those who refuse to hear God are hurting whom? They're hurting themselves. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. If I am constantly spending all of my time with fools, participating in their foolishness, their actions, their mindset, then am I likely to hear instruction? Am I likely to hear reproof? I'm more likely to block it out like they have. If I'm spending all of my off time running around drunks at the bar, if I'm spending all of my time around gamblers at the casino, if I'm spending my time around people caught up in lasciviousness at the dance club, am I going to hear a Christian word of encouragement at those places that's going to help me be a better Christian? Are those people going to help me be a better spouse, a better parent, a better son, or just a better member of society even? They're not. Those types of places, those types of people in those places are going to make me worse as a parent, a husband, a member of society. The Bible says that if I am refusing instruction, reproof, wisdom, then I am despising my own soul. It's doing me more harm than good being in these places. The wisdom contained in God's Word is for my own good. God gave us this Word. We talked about it this morning. We ought to have respect for this Word. God gave it to us for our own good. He gave it to us because He loves us. And so we need to abide by it. We need to abide among the wise. We need to heed the words of Solomon in the Proverbs and the rest of this wonderful book. The words of so many inspired writers. The words of God. We need to heed it for our own good. If I surround myself by those who are spiritually wise, those who are Christians, then am I going to be hurt in my spiritual walk or am I going to be helped? I'm going to be helped. And so that is what I must do. Well, humility and wisdom put into practice, what does that result in? That results in godly fear, which when you really think about it is exactly what we're after if we're trying to please God. So this is the kind of recurring theme in Proverbs, if you think about it. The perfect recipe for fearing the Lord is humility combined with the wisdom that we receive from reading His Word. If you think about it, the first step in accepting wisdom is humility. If I am not humble, then there's no way that I'm going to listen to anything wisdom has to tell me. Why? because wisdom knows a better way. But if I'm not humble, then Chase knows a better way. You don't tell me that. I know what I'm doing. I can go to this place, and you know what? I'm just going to go there, and I'm not going to participate in what those people are doing, but I'm just going to watch. How long do you think that's going to last? Not very long. And so wisdom knows better than I know. And it takes humility to admit that. Proverbs 18, verse 12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 29, verse 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. And so you have to be humble to even be a candidate to take on wisdom. Are you humble? Well, if you're humble, then you'll listen to wisdom. But we also have to fear God. A guy who just has naturally humble temperament, sometimes you meet people like this, you can just tell they're naturally very humble. But a guy like that, if he's refusing to hear God's word, is going to be just as much as in trouble as an arrogant guy. Why? Because even though he's humble, he's not heeding God's word and he's not among the saved. And so we have to understand that humility combined with the fear of God is what leads to obedience to the truth. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 tells us that the whole conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and keep His commandments. Solomon had expressed in this entire book of Ecclesiastes, by the way, Solomon is also writing Proverbs here, and was the wisest man on earth at that time. But in this book, Ecclesiastes, Solomon is writing that he's searching for happiness with the alcohol. He's searching for happiness with the women. He's searching for happiness with staying busy with various building projects. And on he goes, explaining things that he is searching for, looking for the meaning of life, and he finds it toward the end of his life. He finally comes back to God, I believe, I'm convinced. And he says in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. Solomon was humbled by his experience. Solomon realized that what he had done with the majority of his life was wrong. And he came back to God, I believe, and he acknowledged the meaning of life. Fear God and keep His commandments. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. When you examine your life this afternoon, tell me, are you abiding among the wise? Because there's only two options. You're either abiding among the wise or you're abiding among the fools. Spiritually speaking, that is the most important decision you can make. Am I going to continue abiding with the foolish? Or am I going to abide among the wise? I can tell you this, if you're living as a faithful Christian, if you're truly living as a faithful Christian, then that's exactly what you're doing. You're abiding among the wise. But too many, unfortunately, may have this facade of Christianity, but when you really think about it, they're not actually living it. And so they're, although they may appear to be abiding among the wise, they're actually abiding among the fools. And isn't that sad? Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son. This young man had everything he needed. His father had provided it for him. He receives this money, this inheritance, and he goes out and wastes it on prodigal living. He finds out that that was a foolish thing to do. But you know what? In Luke chapter 15, that prodigal son also finds out that he was much better off in his father's house, and he came home after many months, perhaps maybe years of being unfaithful to him. He comes home, and once again, he abides among the wise. If that's you this afternoon, then I would certainly encourage you to come back, to be faithful to God again, to abide among the wise. Don't abide among the fools. Think about your life this afternoon, and if you need to respond, then I certainly hope that you would. It may be the case that you're not a Christian, You can become a Christian by putting on Christ in baptism for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. Oh, and by the way, Acts 2:38 also says you've got to repent of those sins. You can't just keep living in them. You've got to confess faith in Christ. Romans 10:9-10. You've got to believe in Christ. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So think about that, and if you haven't done that, please do that today. It may be the case that you've done that, but you're not living as a faithful child of God, and you know it. And you want to make the decision right now that you're going to live as a faithful child of God, then please do that while you have opportunity. As together we stand and sing.
You've been listening to a sermon from the Beacon Church of Christ. Perhaps you'd like to hear more of these sermons in person. We would love to have you visit our congregation. We are located at 2326 Jonesboro Road in West Monroe. Join us on Sundays at 9:45. 10:30, and 2, and Wednesday nights at 7. A warm welcome awaits you. Come see us soon.